Okay, well, good afternoon, and thank you for joining me today to learn about the new AMS grant program, the Specialty Crop Multi-State Program. My name is Janice Zygmunt, and I've been with AMS for some time. I also manage the Federal State Marketing Improvement Program, which is the oldest grant program that AMS has. So I have some experience with grants, but I am new to the specialty crop. So this is going to be a learning experience for all of us, I'm sure. Today I want to focus on the request for applications, and that is the document that is posted to our website and also available via grants.gov, and this is going to be your Bible in thinking about and preparing your proposals. I want to give you a basic understanding of the program parameters because it is a new program. Some of you are maybe familiar with the Specialty Crop Block Grant Program. Some may be familiar with the Local Food Promotion or the Farmers Market Promotion Programs or even FinSNP. But this is a new one. It is tied very closely, though, to the Specialty Crop Block Grant Program in the sense that it is under the same legislation. And this new program was authorized by the Farm Bill. And my point in saying that is that, therefore, the definition of specialty crop for the purposes of this new grant program is the same as for the Specialty Crop Block Grant Program. I want to just give you a sense of what is covered under specialty crops. Again, for those who aren't familiar with the existing programs, and the Farm Bill defines specialty crops as fruits, vegetables, tree nuts, dried fruits, horticulture, and nursery crops, including floriculture. Eligible plants must be cultivated or managed and used by people for food, medicinal purposes, and or aesthetic gratification to be considered specialty crops. Processed products shall consist of greater than 50% of the specialty crop by weight, exclusive of added water. Now, at the website, the Specialty Crop Block Grant website, and also the Specialty Crop Multi-State, we have a link to a much more in-depth definition of what a specialty crop is, as well as a list of eligible specialty crops and also those that are ineligible. So if there's any question about what you're thinking about, whether it is applicable to this program, I urge you to take a look at that site. So I want to start with the RFA, and one of the things I want to point out, and we're going to go through it, not page by page and line by line, but I want to hit the high points so that you get a good understanding of the program. On page 3 at the top, you'll see we have stakeholder input, and because this is a new program and there are going to be a lot of questions about how it works and what it covers and so on, we want your feedback on this RFA eventually. If there are any clarifications, any questions that you think, or suggestions to make it more clear in this RFA for the next time, because the program that we've just announced is covering funds that were allocated for last year, fiscal 2014, which was $1 million, and then $2 million for fiscal 2015. For 2016, there will be an additional $3 million available, the following year an additional $4 million available, and finally in the last year of the program there will be an additional $5 million. So we're starting out slow, but this is a program that's going to grow, so we want your feedback on really as we go along any aspect of this program and also in preparing your applications and working with the participating state ag departments. So let's get started on the RFA. The purpose is covered in section 1.2, and the purpose is very straightforward. It is to competitively award funds to state departments of agriculture to solely enhance the competitiveness of specialty crops by funding collaborative multi-state projects that address the following regional or national level specialty crop issues: food safety, plant pests and disease, research, crop-specific projects addressing common issues for those crops, those specific crops, and also marketing and promotion. The first four were specifically outlined in the law to be covered under this program. The last, marketing and promotion, is an element that was added to the program under the authority given to the secretary to open the program to other purposes. So that's where it's focused, on those five areas. Now, the project types in Section 1.3 take each of these categories and elaborates on possibilities of the types of projects that we anticipate will be coming into us for this program. These projects, as you see, as they are described, may include, but are not limited to, these different bullets. And I do want to say something very quickly about the first category, which is the food safety projects. We've heard from a number of people about some concerns that we too narrowly defined the references that we make to the Produce Safety Alliance and FDA with regard to food safety proposals, particularly in developing materials and doing training for producers. And without going into any detail, because we're still under discussion about that, we are going to broaden our discussion of the types of proposals that we would expect to see, recognizing that food safety is an evolving area of a concern, and that in the coming years, FDA will be approving new materials and training, and we need to accommodate that in our request for proposals. So we will handle this issue in more detail in a question and answer section that we will post to the website, along with other questions and clarifications that we find necessary as we go along to help the applicants prepare proposals that address the objectives of the specialty crop multi-state program. The proposal reviewers will eventually receive additional instructions when they go to evaluate the proposals with regard to food safety training. So I just wanted to, you know, make that mention that we're aware of some issues and some questions and concerns, and that we will be addressing those so that when you go to put your proposals together, you'll have a little bit more guidance than is in here. We have projects that address threats from pests and diseases. Again, we have bullets that suggest the projects may include, but are not limited to, these. The same with the research projects, which is rather broad and open, and we tried to cover things here that we anticipated would be of interest to the community out there that's interested in multi-state projects. We have crop-specific projects, and an example is just if you had, say, a crop like asparagus that's grown in multi-states or in multiple areas of the country, and they have common issues that could be addressed by research. And then, of course, the final one I mentioned is the marketing and promotion projects, which cover everything you see here listed: to sell, advertise, promote, market, generate publicity for, attract new customers, or raise customer awareness for specialty crops or a specialty crop venue. So moving on to some additional information about the eligible project types, we do have a priority. I'll talk about that a little later. So that's something to be aware of, that we are giving priority to a certain type of proposals, certain types of proposals. Highly technical proposals, we have some guidance that we want to make sure that highly technical proposals, these are very science-based laboratory types of things, that those are acceptable as projects for this program. But we need to see how that's going to link to a practical application for producers and processors. The proposals involving the food safety training and education, I've already talked about that we will be providing more guidance on this. We do give some leeway and leverage in these paragraphs, but we will give you some more guidance on that. And I think that's all I really want to say about the types of proposals. We are, again, limited by what the law says, plus the marketing and promotion, which the Secretary added. And so when you're developing proposals, think about it in those terms. I wanted to just cover real briefly, we have in Section 1.3.8, the unallowed project types. And that first bullet, duplication of materials, it doesn't mean photocopying something and using it in that's already been developed and using it in your proposal. It means reinventing the wheel. If it's out there, we don't want a research project that is going to approach an issue as if there is no information out there at all. So I hope that that's a little clearer, more clear than what we have here. I'd like to move to Section 1.4, which is the development of proposals, and I think this is really crucial for this audience because the State Departments of Agriculture are going to be the applicants, but when you look at the definition of a multi-state project, the partners are essential. The people, the groups that you represent are crucial to the success of this program and, in fact, to the definition of what a multi-state project is. So I just want to go over that very quickly. The definition of a multi-state project is that it addresses one or more, and it can be more than one, of the five areas of concentration for this program. As described under the project types, it will define a particular geographic area, such as specific states or foreign markets, to show that it has more than very local impact. It defines the specific specialty crops that will be the focus of the project. And this is very crucial. It involves at least two partner organizations or entities located in different states. And this next sentence talks about the participating State Department of Agriculture. And let's just go to that next section and talk about that, because that is very crucial in how this program is going to work. We realize that not all state agriculture departments have the capacity and resources to play the role in accepting applications, screening applications, getting on grants.gov and submitting them to AMS. So we can't force state agriculture departments to participate and take that role. So we have gone out and asked the states to let us know by September 30 if they are willing to accept the role of what we're calling a participating State Department of Agriculture. And we've listed here what their roles and responsibilities are briefly. And the first is that the participating State Department of Agriculture is the only one, the only entity that can send us proposals. The participating will provide us a point of contact who will handle inquiries from groups like yourself that you represent about this program. The participating state ag departments will establish a deadline for accepting applications, and they will develop in close concert with AMS internal procedures to screen applications from any source submitted to them to ensure that it is a multi-state project as defined in Section 1.4.1 and that it meets the rest of the requirements outlined in this RFA. And we're going to get to those that are going to be very important for you guys to focus on. The participating will take responsibility for submitting all applications they receive that meet both the definition of the multi-state project and the requirements of the RFA. We can skip five. That's just a federal form. And they accept administrative responsibility for any application they submitted to AMS that is ultimately selected for funding. And then if awarded, they will handle the sub-awards and sub-agreements with the partners in the states that will actually carry out the work of the project. Now, it is important to know that it's not the responsibility of the participating state ag departments to help you develop proposals in a substantive way. They will be referring you back to the RFA to tell you about the components of the application and to send you back to the RFA to make sure that you have a complete application before you send it to them, and we'll go over what that consists of. So the rest of this section just talks about, well who could be the partners? Who can participate as a partner in this program? And it really is open. And you see we have some examples there of acceptable partnerships, but by no means are these exhaustive. And the we do have here a clause that a participating state ag department may themselves want a substantive role in the project, in a project, and they may apply with another partner and send their application in that way. If they have a substantive role, they can be counted as a partner. The section 1.4.3 talks a little bit more about partnerships, and the 1.4.4 talks about the criteria that the participating state ag departments will use in determining if an application is appropriate for this program. And some of these things we've talked about already. We do tie it closely, and I shouldn't say tie it closely, but I should say we don't want to duplicate any project that has been completed under a specialty crop block grant program. If something had begun under that program, that's okay, but we need to be sure that we're not duplicating anything and that the proposal also adheres to those other requirements we talked about whether the additional information that we've provided about if it's a highly technical project or food safety project. Once we establish and post on our website who the participating state agriculture departments will be, they are going to be your points of contact for questions about the RFA. If they can't answer them, they send them in to me, and I provide them, that individual participating, but all the other participating with the same information so that they are approaching the screening of applications and submission of applications in the same way. Just a couple of things about the available funding. I did mention before that approximately $3 million will be available, and the projects will be 3 years in duration. The award size is a minimum of $250,000 and a maximum of $1 million. So if you do the math, we could fund under this RFA three $1 million projects or 12 $250,000 projects or anything in between. But our minimum is three and our maximum is 12. So that just gives you a sense. You could send in a project, you know, for $300,000, half a million, $750,000, whatever is appropriate to the scope and the subject matter of your proposal. But I just wanted to mention that under this RFA, we will fund a minimum of three and a maximum of 12, given that funding level. I would like to turn to the application package itself, and particularly on page 16 under, we have a checklist of what the application that you're going to submit, take that back. Some of this is applicable to you, but the information about this standard form 424 is something that the participating will do. But with that exception, we will be looking for proposals that are consist of the following: a cover page, and there's details about what goes on the cover page, a table of contents, an abstract, a narrative that outlines your goals, objectives, your work plan, and your some other things that are included later on in the write-up here. References, if applicable, a budget spreadsheet, and a budget narrative. We want personal qualifications from the individuals who will be doing the work on the project. We want a letter of commitment from each partner in the project saying that they will agree to do the work outlined in the project proposal if funded, and three letters of support from stakeholders or beneficiaries. This is the checklist that the participating state agriculture departments will use in evaluating to see if it will be submitted to AMS. And let me clarify that a little bit. The participating ag departments are not going to set up their own criteria. They are not going to have their own proposal outlines. They're not going to have, in short, they are going to follow the AMS RFA. This is the Bible. This is what they need to follow. And if there are any questions either from potential applicants or from the participating ag departments or other state ag departments, they're going to funnel here to AMS. Again, we want uniformity in the approach. We want everyone to be treated fairly. We want people to have all the right information. So as I said, we're going to post those questions and answers on our website. So I don't want to go into the detail. It's all here about what consists, you know, each of these things that consists of the application. And also we have a very detailed section about the types of costs that we allow under this program and things that we don't allow. And this will be your guidance in figuring out, can we ask for this in our budget or not? So I would like to turn briefly to the section about how these proposals will be evaluated. As I said, the participating state agriculture departments are just going to screen these proposals. They're going to make sure that it is truly a multi-state project, meets those recommendations, the outline, has all the components that we are looking for in a complete application, and then they send them to AMS headquarters. We will be soliciting reviewers to review these proposals once they come in. Of course, we have no idea how many proposals we're going to get. We don't know how many will be in each of those five different areas. So all we know is that we will need reviewers, and the reviewers will be peer reviewers, so they will be from organizations like yourselves. I expect that that's nonprofits, universities, whatever. Also, other state ag departments could be reviewers. So as we get closer to the application deadline, I'll be putting out a press release soliciting reviewers, and there'll be an application, and you'll have to send in a resume so that we can evaluate your credentials to see if you can serve on these teams to evaluate. So we will get the proposals in, and we will do our own screening that, yes, they meet all these qualifications, just confirming and affirming that the participating state ag departments have gone through the proper procedures and so on. And then we will assign reviewers, and they will have a scoring paradigm, and they will be looking at the proposals as individuals first, and then they will be looking at them together in teams of three based on the subject matter of the proposal. And then they will score, and they will comment, and they will forward those to AMS, and we will take it from there. So the application deadline for the AMS, the AMS deadline is January 14th of next year. In order for the participating state agriculture departments to actually look at your proposals and make sure that they meet the qualifications and do what they need to do in order to get the application through grants.gov by January 14th, they will have to set a deadline before January 14th. And that's something that I will be discussing with the participating ag departments once they're identified, and then that information will be posted. So I'm just looking at my notes to see if I've left anything out, and there is one point I'd like to make. You, as an applicant to a participating state ag department, can't submit the same application to all the participating ag departments. In other words, we don't want them to be screening the same proposal. So you will need to select one of those participating ag departments to send your proposal to. I just wanted to make sure you understood that. Sending your proposal to multiple participatings is not going to increase your chances of funding, because you'll only be counted once. And we don't want to overburden the participating ag departments with additional administrative burden. So at this point, those are all the remarks that I have, but I'd like to open it up for questions. So I need to put us in question and answer mode, and then you will hear instructions from the teleconference folks about how to ask questions. So I'm going to do that right now.
This conference is now in question and answer mode. To alert the speaker that you have a question, press 1, then 0. Each question will be asked in the order it was received.
So, I think that you got some instructions about how to ask a question, and I'm just going to go ahead and see if I have any questions, and we'll go from there.
Hi, I work with an organization that works in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho, and I wondered if a project that works with multiple states where one state is a participating State Department of Ag and another is not would be eligible for the specialty crop multi-state program.
Well, the partners, there have to be two partners with substantive involvement. And the participating is there just as an administrative body to accept your application, screen it, and get it into grants.gov, et cetera. So the two partners, they have to be in different states. That would
But one of the partners could be a state agriculture department. Okay.
Yeah.
But the... If it's, say, Oregon and Washington, and only Washington happens to be a participating department this year, if we had an Oregon partner, it might still be an eligible project.
Well, if Washington was the participating, an Oregon State Ag Department and a nonprofit or whatever in a different state, one in Oregon and one in Idaho, for example, that would be a multi-state project submitted through the Washington State Department of Ag as the participating.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to take another question.
Hi. I have a question about the PSA requirement. I know that you said that you have gotten some comments on that, and we'll be revisiting that. So I guess my questions are, will that issue be revisited and some more clarification outlined for this round of funding, or something that's going to be done for future rounds of funding?
No, that'll be for this round.
Okay. And then my next question is, are you still soliciting or interested in folks that might have comments on this issue?
Well, we are not really soliciting comments on that issue. We've gotten comments, and I can't stop you. Go ahead. That would be fine. But you might want to wait until you see the guidance that comes out. But that's up to you. You certainly can, send in something on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to take another question.
Yes, I had a question about, you didn't mention anything about budget subcontracts for the partners or institutions. Is that going to be a requirement at all?
Well, I think that would be part of it, because the participating is only going to have the administrative responsibility for the grants, and they're going to have to subcontract with the two partners to complete the project. And that is going to entail budget issues.
Is it in the RFA, the information about subcontracting?
Yeah, it's mentioned in there, sure. Mm-hmm. And when you develop your budget spreadsheet and your narrative, you're going to have to make clear where the money is going to go and to whom to do what. But that's included in there.
And I had a second question, or more like comment. So this is basically set up pretty much like the specialty crop block program, where the Department of Ag is basically submitting and managing the grant.
True, to the extent that with the block grant, all the state ag departments get funds, and they do their own competitive grant programs. And in this, it is different in that only a selected number, based on their willingness to fulfill that role as a participating, will be involved in this program.
And is there a limit to the number of partners that could max on a submission?
No, it has to be at least two.
Okay.
Yeah, in different states.
Mm. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Take another question.
Hi, is there a need for evaluation or a research project dissemination scheme? Is that something that's part of this RFA?
Oh, could you elaborate on your question? I'm not sure what you mean by that.
So evaluation would be evaluation of the results. In other words, you know, gathering data. This is a research, as much a research project as it is. You know, I'm assuming that there's going to be a need for dissemination of knowledge gained. Is that correct?
Yeah, and we do talk about having an outreach plan on your project.
An outreach plan. And, I mean, are you looking for a full evaluation on this?
No, I'm not sure what you mean by a full evaluation. It's a three-year project, are you asking, are we requiring that you set aside some of the grant funds to evaluate the project?
Yes, ma'am. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't set it up that way. You can certainly do that, though.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Sure. Another question?
Hi. My organization represents several, multiple states. Do the partners necessarily have to represent multiple states? Or, say, I represent Oregon and Washington. Can I partner with someone that only is representing Washington, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Is it the
do all
the
participants
type of entity, I guess?
We're a commission. So
yeah.
Do all the participants need to represent multiple states, or because we're partnering and we're encompassing multiple states, that fulfills the requirement?
Well, you have to be located in a different state.
Yes.
And it sounds like you would be. Two commissions from different states?
Yes.
Yeah, that does sound right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Take another question.
I had two different questions. One is, because I was reading the blurb about unsuccessful applicants, and so would you filter the information from the comments to the participating Department of Agriculture to filter down to the applicants that may not have received the funding? And then two is, what are the reporting requirements if for the Department of Agriculture and the sub-grant recipients if they should receive the funding?
Right. Your first question, I'm trying to remember what it was. What was it again?
It was regarding the applicants that were not successful.
Oh, the unsuccessful applicants. Yes, it is our policy to, once the awards are announced, to send the consensus comments and the scores to the unsuccessful applicants to give them feedback on their project. So, yes, that is definitely something that is our policy to do.
Would you send it to the applicants themselves, or would you filter that to the participating Department of Agriculture? Then they, in turn, would send it to the applicants.
It would go through the participating because they are the applicant.
Okay.
Yeah, as far as AMS is concerned.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then repeat your second question, please.
The reporting requirements, are they reporting on a yearly basis?
I need to look that up to make sure I'm giving you the right info. Well, we would definitely have reporting requirements. I'm just not seeing it right there as to what the interval is. But, yeah, there would be progress reports and financial reports during the life of the project. And then at the end of the project, which will be a three-year project, you'll prepare a final report and a final financial statement. And throughout the life of the program, you would submit, or I should say the participating would submit on your behalf, requests for reimbursement on your expenses. So that would be happening during the entire grant period.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Another question.
This question, I have two questions, actually. First one is you sort of touched on it, but not to my satisfaction anyway. I represent an association of a particular product, we have people throughout the country as members, but we don't really have a specific state where we are associated with. And I'm not clear how that follows, having to have association with a particular state.
Well, you have a headquarters?
No, we don't.
Oh, you don't. Okay. I think I'd need more information, and maybe you could send me an email, and we could take it from there.
Sure.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Okay.
And the second question on the, is there a deadline for the, how do we know when to establish which states Department of Ag have agreed to be participating?
Yeah, as I mentioned, we have until September 30 to let the states know whether or not they want to participate. And once that happens, we'll have to see how many have decided to assume that role. You know, it really depends, because we have to look at their workload as well. And then when I conference with them, we will establish a deadline that will then be available on their website and on our website to let you know. But, you know, to me it seems reasonable that, you know, and of course it's over the holidays, that they would need to see the proposal sometime probably in December. But that, we haven't established that, and we'll have to talk about that with the participatings, and we will get that information out on the website. And also to the non-participating state ag departments, who also have a role in this whole thing of helping to facilitate the flow of information and questions back to us, so they can be a point of contact, too, in just not necessarily for the group that's listening right now, but for just the public who has questions, they can ask their state ag department and be referred elsewhere.
Thank you.
Okay. Take another question. Okay, I don't have any other questions. It is 2:45 here Eastern Time. I want to give you a couple more minutes to think of anything. If there end up not being any more questions, what I'd suggest is if after we hang up you do have any more questions, you can email them to me. I prefer email rather than the phone calls. And then if we need to have a phone call, we can talk. And it's just you'll get a quicker response if you email. And then we will be posting as soon as we can after September 30, the participating, and that will be the next step in the whole process. Let me check if there's any other questions. Okay.
Is there any special consideration in this project for underserved populations?
Well, there are no priority points for that. There are no extra incentives for that, but you did probably notice in the RFA that we have some USDA priority areas, And those are included in all of our grant programs through AMS and probably throughout the rest of the USDA to kind of affirm that these are priorities for us. To the extent they could fit into this program, that'd be great.
Okay.
But that's why it's there, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
I had another question. Is there a specific form you're going to issue, or do they just, or do applicants just use the information within the RFA, you know, to create their headings, to, you know, using the bullet checklist as a guideline?
Right.
Is that
we don't
specific piece of paper they need to fill out?
No, exactly. Yeah, we don't have a template. We probably will in future years, but this year we don't. So the instructions are to make sure that you submit your application with all of that required information in the order in which it appears in the RFA.
Okay.
So you have the title page and the table of contents and the abstract, and you know it's in that order. So it facilitates the review process for the participating states and also for the reviewers once it gets here at headquarters.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, I had a question. Earlier in this discussion, you said we're going to talk about a priority purpose later on, and I might have missed it because when you do the question answering, the automated lady talks to you for quite a bit, and you miss some of the conversations. Could you repeat that if I missed it? You were going to talk about a priority.
Right, and I'm just looking up where that is. Okay, that's covered under section 5.1, project evaluation criteria, and at the top of page 46, it says, AMS will award 5 priority points to proposals where the main project activities fall under the following project types: food safety, plant pests and disease, and research, as described in sections 1.3.1, 1.3.2, and 1.3.3.
Okay.
So those are areas that are going to get priority points.
So those 3 of the 5?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
The question is about the letters of support. Do they need to be from the same state, or can they... Each participant has to have 3 from each state?
No, it's a total of 3 for the application that goes to the participating Department of Ag. And those letters of support can be from any stakeholder organizations. They don't necessarily have to even be in that state.
Okay.
I mean, because some of our proposals, I anticipate, are going to have national implications. And so in that way, there could be stakeholders throughout the country.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Did someone else have a question that I missed? Then I had one more question, and then it didn't come through. Let me try. Okay. Well, if there are no more questions, then we can terminate this session. And I look forward to seeing your proposals. Look forward to answering your questions. It's an exciting new grant program, and it's very interesting to create a new program, and I look forward to working with you. So let me check for questions one more time, and then if we're finished, we're finished. Okay, well, thank you all for joining us today, and again, I look forward to seeing your proposals. Thanks.
Your conference is ending now. As requested by the host, please hang up.